First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 12th, 2015. It's Just One Thing.
Please rise. Here's Jonah 3, verse 4 and 5. And Jonah began to enter the city on the third day. Then he cried out and said, "Yet all the days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth.
This picture says a lot. This picture, I've seen people actually do that, and I've seen people who, when someone tells them something, I know that that's what's going on in their mind. They're just not going to pay attention. This picture says it the best. People say, "I don't listen." Well, usually I just won't care. And the issue is, do we care? How important is it? When you see somebody in trouble, is this our response? Somebody's in trouble and everybody's got, their phone out, going to take a picture. Sometimes it's a good thing, but so often it's good to just actually do something. As we said today, we're going to look at the book of Jonah from your Bible. We're going to be looking at some highlights. But when we look at the book of Jonah, this prophet, his name means dove. What a nice name. I don't know. So you think of birds, children. There was a dove in the Old Testament. He's mentioned not just in his book, but he's also mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, as predicting some great victories. So he was God's spokesman. He's from the town Gath-Hepher in northern Israel. And he probably wrote this book around 760 B.C. Now, this graphic is really what the book is fighting against. How to avoid a God-centered life. Now, you have to remember, Jonah was a Jew. Jonah was a prophet. In other words, he knew that God had a special calling on his life. And he spoke out for God in different occasions. The 2 Kings chapter 14 passage we showed you was, as far as I can tell, that's about the only other time I found him. But he must have been doing other things for God because people knew who he was and what he had done. But this snapshot of Jonah in our Bible, we get carried away with the fish. And only the fish is the least of his problems. This, I think, is a good illustration for us of something to avoid and perhaps something that is much more common than we would like to admit. As I said, this book is primarily a biography because the first verse we read there, chapter 3, verse 4, that's the only prophetic word uttered by Jonah himself in this that was God's message. That was God's prophetic message, one verse out of this book. And the rest of this book deals with how Jonah reacted instead of acting to be God's person in God's place. Jonah's, if you want to look at each chapter, Jonah's commission, failure, recommission, and anger, if you want to look at the book that way. But this book tells a story of failure because this is Jonah's perspective towards God. We love God, we trust Jesus as our Savior, we read our Bibles, we pray. But sometimes there are things in our minds and hearts that we view as important to us. And sometimes God wants to change the things that are important or valuable or that we spend our time in. And if God speaks to us in a way that would ask us to do something different, we will often ignore him because we're used to ignoring other people. We're used to ignoring the voices that give us guidance, encouragement, direction, because they're not what I want. During his day, Assyria, capital Nineveh, was the major local power, and Nineveh, as it treated the people, was noted for its cruelty. If you think around in history, whatever stories come to your mind, of the way people have treated each other cruelly. Last week, I pointed out some things from 1945. April 9th was the anniversary of the execution of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
in a concentration camp. April 10th was the anniversary, 1945, of the liberation of the very first concentration camp by the Allied forces in World War II. Syria had that same reputation. Israel itself, that northern kingdom, was going through a time of resurgence, prosperity. Less than 50 years later, they would be destroyed and conquered by these Assyrians. And things were starting to look okay. So people were starting to get a little cocky. Their way that they looked at other nations around them began to be more in a superior kind of mindset. And God spoke to Jonah. And his job was to go and preach a message that could have allowed their greatest enemy to get close to him. And if you remember the story of the northern kingdom of Israel, they had in general rejected the true God, the God of the Bible. Most every king of the north, matter of fact, every king of the north, did not have a heart after God. They rejected him. They suffered. They went through plague. They went through pestilence. They went through starvation. No rain. As God tried to get their attention to listen to him, to follow their message. And so imagine Jonah. I don't know how much of a patriot he was for his land. But Jonah was now given a message of repentance that could lead to renewal for their number one enemy. Not their people, but the number one enemy. Kind of like Elijah, when he began his prophetic ministry. He went up north and didn't do a kind thing for a widow from Judah, the southern kingdom, but he was called to go up and take care of the widow of Zarephath, who was in a general period of judgment because of the sinfulness of her nation, and he provided for her, him as well, but her first, as their nation was being judged. So these chosen people could not imagine that God could care about others, especially people worse than them. And so often for us, this is where we have problems. We look at other people, and it's very easy for us to think that we're either better or worse. Better or worse. And God will look at us as people who he has created, created in his image, created that we should bear his name. We're all people who need God's grace. We're all people who need God's mercy. We're all people who need God's forgiveness. John Bunyan said, "Sin is the dare of God's judgment, the rape of his mercy, the jeer of his patience, the slight of his power, and the contempt of his love." And in being unwilling to give God's message to people that not only did he not know, but he did not like, he ran. The area of Joppa there on the coast of Israel, he was sent to go farther east to Nineveh. In Tarshish, we're agreeing with those who say that there were a couple of cities that had that name. We're looking at something that would have been near the Pillars of Hercules, the Strait of Gibraltar, is how we would call that today. God said, "Go east, young man," and he went to the west. What was the result that that led to? The whale. The sea creature. As I said, this is what everybody thinks of, but this is not the focus of the book. Why should we believe this fish story in these first two chapters? Well, because it's in our Bible. People will try and talk around this every other way. Part of the reason that there's a little uncertainty is chapter 2, verse 1, it says great fish. I don't know what your translation says, but these are not the technical terms for a whale. If you're like me, you could think of, well, there are stories, the true stories, back when pictures began to be taken more commonly. There were pictures taken of, yes, guys who fell off of whaling ships who were missing. And one very famous story, I don't remember the year, I want to say 1841. The guy was swallowed, and when his crewmates caught the whale they were seeking and began to open it up, dissect it, he was inside, alive. He was mentally challenged the rest of his life because of the shock. His skin looked different because, well, he was in the stomach of an animal for a couple of days. But Historically, it's proven that this is physically possible to survive that. I personally think that since the Bible is not as descriptive, it's possible that it was a whale. It's possible that this is just some animal that God specifically made for this situation. I don't know. But the Bible tells us that Jonah was consumed and stayed alive for 3 days to come out and find that he had this new chance. So you see, there's Jonah on the beach. Yes, God, I can hear you now. Sometimes when difficult things come to us, we are very attuned to any voice. You've had a great challenge, a great loss. Sometimes people do dramatic acts of faith. Sometimes people take desperate acts because they need something. When things are terrible, you know that you don't have all the answers. You know that you don't have all the solutions. You just know that you need something more than you have. And Jonah, God's man, Jonah was a prophet. He had served God before. He had carried God's messages before. He had been God's spokesman before. Heard God's very simple and plain words and decided that he did not want to do what God told him to do. And that's the overall lesson from this book is, I'm going to say, in God's mercy and grace, God got Jonah's attention and helped him to change, to repent, to alter his lifestyle so that for this moment, he did what God wanted him to do. As you read the rest of the book, his heart was still not pure. We'll get to that. But for this moment, God had his attention and he did what God asked him to do. I asked the question up there, how would you feel when the word of the Lord came a second time? And my answer would be thankful. God, I want to have a chance to do it right this time. Jonah seemingly went out, street preaching, if you will, as a street preacher in your Bible is Jonah, carrying that message, going out and giving it. Ancient Nineveh, which this has been in the news recently, this is one of the cities that some other people in the Middle East now have occupied and begun to do things to. The city walls exterior was about 7 3/4 miles in circumference. We think the city might have had 175,000 inhabitants. That's a lot of people. So this was not an insignificant group of people. So when we talk about God, New Testament tells us God is not willing that any should perish. God is not wishing that even the evil perish. The Bible tells us that God takes no joy in the death of the wicked. Judgment's coming for all of us. God is not willing that any should perish. So these sinful people were given an example of God's grace and an example of God's mercy that they could repent. And really, that is the only message that he had to give. Very simple. We talk about printing tracts or carrying something in your pocket. Jonah could have done that. Jonah could have had this because Jonah, 5 words. In the original language of the Bible, 40 days and then it will be destroyed. It was only 5 words. Said it in probably 5 seconds. But that was his message. Now, here's the point. When they heard this message clearly and plainly, perhaps from the first time, from a uniquely prepared messenger who would have at this time, I'm sure, been sincere, they could have seen that he knew, understood, and believed what he said. It got their attention. And they changed. Let me tell you, any time an adult changes, I can almost guarantee you it's a work of God. Because we are set in our ways. Amen? Do you wear short socks or high socks? You know, I don't need to. Do you wear a collar or no collar? When you go home, is it coffee, tea, water? You have habits. And we don't change our habits. Where do you sit? If you cross your legs, people know what you're going to want. You know, if you ask them what he wants, I can tell you what they're going to say. What kind of coffee does she like? I know what she's going to want. Change is difficult. For adults to change almost takes an act of God on both sides. For God to reach out and for God to be active and then to listen and respond. And these people responded. And when they turned their hearts to God, God himself responded. Chapter 3, verse 10. God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God responds to us. God responds to everyone who will listen, hear his words, repent, and change. God was at work. Sometimes you see God in history. Sometimes I think I can guess when that is. Sometimes I don't know, so I try not to guess a lot of things. But if we were to look historically, interesting enough, there's a lot of history because these people were taking notes. This was an advanced society that kept royal records. So during the time, remember he said that Jonah wrote this around 760, these events took place around 760. During the reign of their leader, Ashur-dur-Rahman III, 771 to 754, these people who, if we use the word superstitious, that describes many people, particularly people who have a national religion like they did, a plague struck them in 765 BC. People were trying to explain things, oftentimes with a religious reason. A total eclipse took place June the 15th. 763 B.C. Another plague followed just after the 759 B.C. These things, rumors of these things, could have been things God was using them to prepare them for his message. God says to watch the signs. God says to watch the times. God says that if we will cause ourselves to follow and repent, he'll change. If not, sometimes he changes things around us. These people had problems and perhaps were wondering what was going to happen next. What was the reason for this? So God very possibly was working in them already to prepare them to receive this message. Jonah, chapter 4, was surprised. Realized that Jonah very possibly was one of those people who'd been active in the school of the prophets in the northern kingdom of Israel, the Israel, again, that was distant from God, not listening, not paying attention. They'd had Elijah, they'd had Elisha, they had other messengers, and you would think that if people hear the message enough, they'll turn, not every time. It's a divine thing. It's a conviction thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's plans and people's response. And people don't always hear the truth and listen. People don't always hear the truth and agree. Matter of fact, so often if people hear the truth, they're so distant from it and so uncommon to hearing it, that if people haven't heard the truth in a long time and they begin to hear it, they will become violently upset. What are you saying? What do you mean? This isn't right. Nobody's talked like this for a long time. These are old dated. These are outdated. Nobody thinks this way anymore. So Jonah was in an environment where God had been trying to speak and work with some of his own people, and they did not respond. Elijah on Mount Carmel, sending the fire down. No national revival. Ahab seems to have turned his heart to God finally for a while, but never his wife. Jonah went to the worst people he could think of, people he tried to avoid. People that it cost him something to stay away from, even though it's what God wanted him to do. And he preached a very simple message, probably not a lot of explanation, at a great personal cost. And these people repented. And Jonah was surprised. When God did not send the judgment, chapter 4, verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he became angry. There's a German word, Schadenfreude, where you're very excited to see your enemy suffer. Dangerous thing. Jonah was looking forward, perhaps, now that I've given this message of destruction. Remember, his message was simple. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. I'll sit back and watch the destruction. But the people listened and repented, and there was no destruction. And his heart was so hard that even though he followed God and obeyed him, he was not pleased, relaxed, or joyful when people began to obey and listen. The 40 days had passed, And Jonah kept waiting, perhaps today, not for repentance. We use that phrase, perhaps today, for rapture. But I think Jonah, chapter 4, verse 5, went out of the city and sent it to the east side. He made a shelter and sat in the shelter that he would see what would become of the city. A.K.A., he wants to see the lake of fire that's going to come down and lick it up. And when it did not happen, God gave him the object lesson of a little plant that went up to block the sun for a little while. And when it went away, he was sad. And God told him, listen, you're depressed because the plant that kept the sun off you for a couple hours a day is gone. Here's 175,000 people who are made in my image. Isn't it right for me to care about them too? For us, the issue with God is God sends us the same message, stop ignoring me. We read that passage about not grieving the Holy Spirit. God wants us to listen. God wants us to hear Him. God wants us to obey Him. Because you don't know how God is going to use you. In our Sunday school hour briefing today, we were looking at the acts of Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 4, as Elisha was involved with a family who lost a husband, with people who didn't have good things to eat or enough things to eat, with a lady whose child had died, and with people who had made some food that was toxically spoiled, and he was able to stop it from causing their death and make it good enough to use. None of those involved calling fire down from heaven. All of them involved someone hearing someone's request, hearing about what somebody needed, and personally getting involved in God's name to make a difference. So often that's what God is asking us to do. I don't think God will ask me to call down fire today. As you've told me, I have smoke on the back porch, but there's no fire. I hope not. But God will frequently put us with other people, because looking at the life of Christ, Christ is one who followed his Father, loved his Father, and because he loved God, he loved people. That's the message of 1 John, especially chapter 4. If you love God, you're going to love other people. How can you say you love God and hate people? Somehow, we will spend time with other people. And how will God have us interact with them? How will God have us help them, serve them? Sometimes instruction, sometimes help, sometimes prayer, sometimes guidance, sometimes in recovery. But these are all things that God has for us as we go throughout our day. That picture of a Bible there has a human-shaped image. Because so often, when we look at God's Word, we love everything except the things that affect me. And I'll tear out the part of the Bible that would talk about me and move right through as if it was never there, but I certainly can see the things that affect you. And let me tell you, I have God's message for you. And sometimes that's the way God has us be, but generally, God wants us to listen to His words for ourselves. God, what have you told me to do? How can I follow? Because if Jonah, a prophet of God, called, anointed by the Holy Spirit, having interacted, I'm sure, with Elijah and Elisha, somebody who was used to give God's message on other occasions, if his heart can go hard sometimes, it's very easy for us to be concerned with the very same problem. So what we need to do is decide that it's better to do it God's way, and then actually do it God's way. Yeah, I know I should. Do you do it? Decide to do it right the first time. We'd have missed that story of the great fish if he would have obeyed, but who knows? Jonah could probably live without that story. It's so much better to just have an average, normal testimony, I tell people. Some of you say, well, I don't have an amazing testimony about being saved. Amen. I'm glad you weren't saved from prison. I'm glad you weren't saved from this. I'm glad you weren't saved from that. I'm glad you had a normal life. It's okay. That's the kind of testimony you're supposed to have. Jesus wasn't saved out of a life of gambling, was he? No! Nothing wrong to have the same testimony as Jesus, amen? This is something we struggle with. Stop worrying about how your life would be different from what you dream of. If you really gave God control and stopped chasing your dreams, sometimes dreams are just that. Something, well, I wish I hope I... Well, you need that? Probably not. In the life of Jonah, there are repentance can lead to the repentance of others. What does God want from me? Let me answer that question very simply. C.S. Lewis had it. He doesn't want something from us. He simply wants us. Our mind, our soul, our heart, and our strength. That's what God wants. And once God has all of us, He can use us.